Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Now we're off to the Pro Act holiday tour to stop Scrooge bosses infringing workers' rights to unionize.
At the last leg of the National Pro Act Holiday Tour Rally, our Revolution field director and National Pro Act Holiday Tour organizer, Mike Aulis, told us that Pro Act is the most important labor law since FDR, since the 1930s. That's the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, popularly called the PRO Act. Let's find out why the PRO Act is so important and what it would do for workers.
Mike Aulis, we're here with you, and you're wearing a great shirt, Our Revolution, and you're standing in front of one of the best vehicles I've seen in a long time, which says, offshore no more. Importantly, for today's purpose, it mentions something about the PRO Act. Tell us what the PRO Act is and what you're doing here.
Well, thank you so much. The PRO Act, the Protect the Right to Organize Act, PRO Act. It is the most important labor legislation reform, law reform since FDR, since the 1930s. This law will protect the rights of workers to organize a union in this country. It will protect the rights of strikers to not be replaced when they go on strike. It will give gig workers and share ride drivers more rights and protections to form a union. So it's a very transformative law that will make it way more easier in this country to organize a union. Right now, we know how hard it is to form a union. It takes a lot of strategy and a lot of luck to win a union these days in the United States. So this law will take the boss mostly out of the fight and let workers use their own independent voice to decide if they want a union or not at their workplace.
Replacement workers, will it cover that?
Absolutely. So one big part of the PRO Act is that if you go on strike, like right now with Kellogg's, they signed a tentative agreement today, but they were threatened with replacement workers. The PRO Act would ban the threat of replacement workers for striking workers. So it's a huge win for workers if it gets passed.
So let's talk about some of the other things that the PRO Act would do. And then, of course, tell us where the legislators are in response to this. We are in front of Schumer's office. We can find out more about where he stands. But as a whole, we want to know about the progress. But tell us about the strategic provisions of the PRO Act.
Right. So replacement workers, very important. Ending the right to work states as part of the PRO Act. So imagine.
Not everybody knows what right to work states are.
So right to work states, right? So right from Indiana about 15 years ago, they said, we're going to weaken the labor movement in Indiana and across the Midwest. So they went on the attack and they basically made organizing a union a lot tougher, sustaining the union a lot tougher by basically changing the law saying if you form a union at your workplace, you can have freeloaders. You can have people not pay into the union dues, not be part of the union. You can, they still get representation, but you don't have to pay. And so you have to go out and get everybody to sign up, make sure they're all, make sure every dot's crossed, every Q's, whatever. So right to work is something that came out really at the Jim Crow South saying, let's weaken the labor movement. It spread to the Midwest, and it's wreaked havoc upon working people. We call it the right to work for less. And so the PRO Act will end that, which would be a huge win. It would also shorten, if you organize a union right now, there's a, be 2 or 3 months before you get an actual election date to vote on your union. The PRO Act would dramatically reduce that so that, you have, 2 weeks instead of 2 or 3 months to you have your election. It punishes bosses and corporations for aggressively being anti-union. So if they do closed door meetings, if they threaten, if they bribe, if they cheat, they lie, they get punished with big fines for trying to bust a union. So this law is a union buster's worst nightmare, and this law is a working person's great hope right now.
Well, this is music to my ears, but the Biden administration is for it, but you don't hear much about it from Biden or just about anybody else except for Our Revolution and a few others. So what's going on here?
So look, first of all, it's passed the House of Reps, right? It cleared the House. Every Democrat in the United States House of Representatives voted for the PRO Act, except for one person, Henry Cuellar in Texas voted against it. So he's up for election March 1st in the primary. So we're going to take him out in the primary for being the only Democrat in the House to vote against it. So we're going to make an example of him. But then also in the United States Senate, we think there's majority support for the PRO Act. We have 47 co-sponsors. There's three senators who have not co-sponsored. They've all hinted that they support it. You know, so there is, you know, we're getting close to that 50%, you know, the vote to pass, had the votes to pass in the Senate. But then we have the filibuster issue, right? So then you have the filibuster. There's no way, you know, there might be one Republican, Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, who will support it. But, you know, it's going to get filibustered if we get it through. So, look, it's a tricky road to get this passed. But Joe Biden says that he's the most pro-union president we've had in a generation. This is a major priority for labor unions in this country, a major priority for grassroots groups. Imagine next year going into the midterms, which we know are going to be tricky and tough, if we had a supercharged, super-powered labor movement because of the PRO Act. So this is a lifeline to Democrats that we can go into next year fighting with everything we got. It's a tricky road ahead, of course, and we're hoping that we get a vote as soon as possible. But here's the deal. As Joe Biden would say, Joe Biden's got to step it up a little bit and use his voice and his pro-union stances to make this real. We started this tour 3,000 miles ago in Phoenix. Kirsten Sinema.
What do you mean? What did you start? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're in this pickup truck, right? You talked about it earlier. This is the last day. We've been on the road for 14 days. We started in Phoenix, Arizona a week ago Monday, and then went to Tucson on Tuesday. Kirsten Sinema is a senator from Arizona. She is, like Joe Manchin, a huge headache. Joe Manchin, you can kind of understand. But Kirsten Sinema is in a purple state, going deeper and deeper blue every day. And there is an awesome labor movement in Arizona sticking up and fighting together that helped get her elected. And she has not really risen to the occasion. You know, the filibuster, plus her lack of public support for the PRO Act. So we started this tour at her front door in Phoenix. And we're ending this tour in Chuck Schumer's front door in Manhattan, here in Midtown. And we're very clear. Chuck Schumer has been a great ally for the PRO Act. He's been a good, a pretty good progressive voice in the U.S. Senate. But let's now, in this moment where time is running out, we could lose everything next year or we could win everything next year. So let's win everything next year by getting this tough legislation enacted, or we risk everything. And it's going to be a short, it's going to be a short ride for Joe Biden. It's going to be a short ride for Chuck Schumer. It's going to be a short ride for Nancy Pelosi, because we'll have McConnell, McCarthy in office next year leading things if we don't do something big.
I must ask a little cynically. You've got a gorgeous van out here, or a truck. Again, our revolution, which are folks that started in the pro-Bernie Sanders movement, pro-Bernie Sanders for president. It's got all these signs and gorgeous insignia on it of women as strong labor proponents, workers. But what we don't see out here, which is mind-boggling, and we don't see in Washington, is really demonstratively, physically, the organized labor movement. What the hell is to be done to get labor back, boots on the ground, to demonstrate in support of their own interests?
Well, first of all, I want to say that the Communication Workers of America are a big supporter and sponsor of this trip we just did. There are some amazing unions out there that are fighting with everything they got, with everything they know how to. I'm from the Midwest, where we are taking on some pretty heavy-duty forces, where a lot of membership is under attack. A lot of membership have decided they're going to go with the Trump world. The way we fight back is by having a bold progressive labor movement connecting with a bold progressive grassroots movement, working together hand in hand. So it happens, doesn't happen maybe enough, but there is an amazing effort right now to make this happen. We just one day longer, one day stronger is sort of one of our mottos here. And we've made so many great connections on this trip where people, oh yeah, like, oh, we can actually do stuff. We can actually go to the streets. We can have some fun, do some broadcast. And people are really seeing it, you know, it's just kind of building those relationships, I feel like. Now we've been stuck inside with COVID for 2 years, and it's been, it's been terrible. And here we are, you know, hopefully things aren't getting too much worse, but, you know, we are here making connections. You know, we were in Buffalo last night with the first unionized Starbucks workers.
Yay.
Amazing. I mean, if you want to feel like part of it, like a movement, last night was it. We had CWA, where we had nurses out on strike for patient safety earlier this year. You had the food workers with us. You had the Starbucks workers who just won their first shop. We had grassroots activists. We had a professor, right? We can do this together, but it's really just about, you know, showing up, having some fun, getting to know each other, and just realize, like, hey, it might seem like a long shot, but you keep on organizing, you keep on fighting, you find a way. And that's how I've learned to organize. You know, you can organize your way out of any situation if you get enough people working together.
And what's our motto?
Our motto at our revolution is, when we organize, we win.
And what about the PRO Act? Have we got a good slogan for that?
The good slogan for the PRO Act is, what do we want? The PRO Act, when do we want it? As soon as possible, Chuck Schumer.
Absolutely. And what are we going to do with the filibuster?
The sign over here.
So we've got this big blue sign there, says off filibuster, and absolutely our revolution. Thank you for speaking with us, Mike.
Union! 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 Now!
What do we want? What do we want? It?
Now! All right, I'm Hal Ginsberg with Al.
What do we want?
Now!
What do we want? It?
Now!
What do we want?
Now!
What do we want? It?
Now!
I'm Hal Ginsberg with Our Revolution, and I have been traveling with my comrade Mike Olis from Cleveland. He started in Phoenix. This is the PRO Act Tour, and we are traversing our nation in support of working people and the right to organize. Unions make us strong. And we've been in Cleveland, Buffalo, and New York City. We're going to talk a lot about why it's so important that we support great people like the American labor heroes at Starbucks. Woohoo! Starbucks, they're unionizing in Buffalo. They're voting in Phoenix. They're going to unionize in Boston. We know that unionized workers have fairer pay, better working conditions, and their families have and enjoy better lives. We know when there's higher union density in a community, there's less crime, the schools are better, there's more engagement with the government. Unions make us strong, and that's why we're here. Go ahead and turn the mic over to Mike. Mike Olis will take the mic. He is our national field director.
And here we are in front of Chuck Schumer's office, who has been a champion of the PRO Act. But to be honest, Majority Leader Schumer, we need a little bit more. We need everything we got to get this thing done before it's too late. 2022 is now days away. And we have some critical elections that ramp up pretty early in 2022. We gotta go out and beat the Republicans back with everything we got. We want Chuck Schumer to be the majority leader still. We want Democrats to have the majority in the United States House.
Yeah.
We don't want the Republicans back in charge. We don't want Trump back in charge.
Whoa.
But I have some bad news. We're fighting with our hands behind our back. We are not empowering the base of our movement, the Democratic Party, which is the labor movement.
Yes.
So right now, we are on this journey from Sinema's office to Schumer's office with a clear message. It's time we get the PRO Act on the road and get it passed.
That's right.
It's time that we stand up for working families in this country, give working families everything they need to have a strong, safe union on the workplace, a strong voice on the workplace, a safe place to work. So just a couple stories along the road. When was it? That was Friday night. I was we were driving from Dallas to Memphis. About 11, 12 o'clock that night, started seeing tornado warnings pop up in the Midwest, in Kentucky and in Illinois. And when I woke up the next morning, early that morning, there had been stories of workers who had died working the third shift, working to make sure that people had what they needed for Christmas.
That ain't right.
Amazon workers in Illinois died. They died because they were failed by Amazon.
That ain't right.
They weren't given a safe workplace. They said, keep on working through a tornado. Keep on working. In Kentucky, workers died making fragrant candles. I saw the starting pay there was like $8 or $9 an hour at that factory. People died in the middle of the night begging to go home to be protected. And that company, Amazon, they said, you're okay, keep on working. It's 10 days to Christmas. You know, we'll figure it out. Places across the country, right? So Starbucks, Amazon workers, Kellogg's workers, they're leading the way right now. But know what? We need more. We need the United States government to step it up a little bit. We need the Democrats who run this government to say, yeah, we're pro-union, but we're going to put our money where our mouth is, and we are going to throw down for the PRO Act. So that's why we're here today, right in front of Chuck Schumer's office. He's probably in Washington, D.C. But so I want to pass the mic now to some of our friends and allies that we've worked with. And who's first today? We have a retired teacher from New York fighting for the PRO Act.
Thank you. Now, you know that once we have a union, that's not the end of it, because participation is a lifelong commitment to get in there for the struggle and stay in there for the struggle, whether it's in your congregation, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. Of course, the PRO Act is protecting unions, and I've been an activist in the United Federation of Teachers for about 40 years. The union is an important, important, essential element for workers, but not if we don't continue to struggle within the union, because now we're fighting for our health care. We're fighting in New York City to keep Medicare and make it into New York State health care, which is comprehensive, inclusive, and for everybody. We don't want to maintain what we had. That doesn't cut it. Union always. Union first, union forever, but it's not over. It's never over. And you have to make a commitment to the struggle for the long haul. I earned every one of these, my gray hairs, my white hairs. Thank you all.
Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Steve Lawton, president of the Communication Workers of America, Local 1102 on Staten Island, New York. I'm here today on behalf of District 1 of the CWA that represents thousands of workers on the Northeast. Every day, I help organize workers in the street. Right? I've lived through anti-union campaigns that were orchestrated by anti-union consultants paid for by these employers. I've seen what it does. The workers that we currently organize are the people who are the real working class, the folks that are working 40 hours a week and are not able to sustain a dignified life as you would think you would if you've worked that many hours. That is wrong. And what I want to say about where we are, we've come through this COVID pandemic, and we're seeing our whole economy and everything that we understand change right in front of our eyes. And we see how corporate America is capitalizing on this moment, and it's not hurting at all. And we see how workers who took the brunt of this pandemic and who continue to organize in Amazon and everywhere else, how they're struggling. That's what this is about. How are we going to go forward to the future if we don't change policy to equalize power between the workers and the employers? And I want to say one other thing on behalf of my members who happen to be working a call center. Many of them are working moms of color, going up against a corporation who has opposed their rights for 12 years, struggling for rights.
That ain't right.
I'm hearing a lot of politicians on the Democratic side especially speak about systemic racism and how do we dismantle that. Well, if we're talking about dismantling systemic racism, we're talking about equity and power. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about giving us crumbs in some little bill that's going to give us a little bit of time while we're unemployed. We're talking about equalizing our power. That's what the PRO Act is about. The PRO Act will equalize our power, give equity and power to the people who are working hardest and on being paid the lowest. So on behalf of the CWA and all my members and the members of the District 1, I'm happy to be here. And I just want to say this last thing to Mr. Schumer, who I respect immensely. So when he comes there and asks for those votes, which we want to give him, we expect him to be supportive of policies like the PRO Act. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Noah Barron. I'm 21 years old, and I'm a college organizer with the Worker Circle. The Worker Circle was founded 121 years ago by Eastern European immigrants on the Lower East Side. Many of these immigrants spoke Yiddish, they didn't speak any English, and they worked in factories. And one of these such immigrants was a woman named Clara Lemlich. Clara Lemlich was 19 years old, she spoke only Yiddish, and she worked in a shirtwaist factory where the conditions were atrocious. She worked in the shirtwaist factory and worked long hours, little pay, really abusive conditions, it was dangerous. And so she was fed up. And so what she did is she helped organize something that was called the Uprising of the 20,000. In 1909, 20,000 young women, mostly, from shirtwaist factories, organized together and they went on strike. 20,000 women. Can you imagine today if 20,000 workers went on strike? So 20,000 of these women went on strike, and because of this labor movement of the early 20th century, we have the 40-hour work week, we have the weekend, we have child labor laws. We owe so much in this country to the labor movement. We owe so much in this country to progressive labor laws, and we need more of them. We need the PRO Act now, because unions make our country better. Thank you.
I'm Nathalie Flowers. I represent Vocal and our family was a union family. My mother was in ILGWU. My father was in United Mine Workers, Scranton, Pennsylvania, coal mine, hard coal. He died with black lung. But we couldn't buy a blouse if it was $2 if it didn't have a union label. My mother said the union feeds families, puts children through school, lets you buy a house, and let black and Latin people join the workforce.
Yeah.
Join the workforce.
Yeah.
All women had to do in our town, if you were black, was to go work for a white woman. And they took my mother to a white woman, and she said, okay, here, clean the kitchen. And then my mother said, okay, and she says, mop the floor. My mother gets out the mop, starts to mop the floor, and the woman says, oh no, gets a bucket and a scrub brush and says, you gotta get on your hands and knees, honey, and scrub my floor. And my mother said, I don't scrub my own floor on my hands and knees. I use a mop. The next day, someone said, what can you do? She said, I can sew. They took her to the ladies' garment workers dress factory, and she became a worker because they had a union that let black women join. My father went all over the U.S. after the war ended. We moved to Pennsylvania in 1948 because when the white men came from the war, all the black men were fired. It took him all the way to California and finally Pennsylvania, where he had a brother, and they were hiring in the coal mine. And he joined the United Mine Workers and retired from that, and later died with black lung. I'm in Screen Actors Guild. We had to organize in the 70s when the blaxploitation films came out, Cotton Comes to Harlem. There was no union people who were black, pretty much. And we said, you've been keeping us out because of the grandfather clause. We're not the son of the uncle of the nephew of Mo, who was the original union member. And we're like, so we protested, and we earned the right to join Screen Actors Guild. but I'm a proud member of Screen Actors Guild. And a stunt woman. I was a stunt double for Ms. Ruby Dee and Do the Right Thing. And I want to say, I'm the woman, this badge is real. I was at the March on Washington in 1963 with Martin Luther King Jr. when we were marching for jobs, justice, fair housing, and voting rights. We didn't have any of that in 1963. We're still fighting. We're tired and we want justice for all of us, unity for all of us. What a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And get rid of these rich, corrupt politicians who are taking the money. The stock market is higher than ever, and more people have lost their jobs, have no work, and are looking for ways to eat. This is wrong and must stop. We have to unite and make sure every child is fed and everyone has the right to equal treatment under the law. Tax the rich and take care of everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Okay. And I have one quick story. My uncle, who's a CWA member in Indianapolis, he goes, Mike, you know what? Without the CWA, my two daughters, they wouldn't have been able to go to college. And that is what we're fighting together, right? Amid a pathway to the middle class, a pathway for justice. And look, in real politics, passing the PRO Act means we can win in 2022. We don't pass it. We don't want to go there, right? So let's go ahead. Let's wrap up this journey. And let's wrap it up. What do we want, PRO Act? When do we want it now? What do we want?
PRO
Act. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
PRO Act.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
PRO
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
PRO
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
PRO
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
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 This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.